Okay. So the new stuff is about functions of two variables. A function of two variables is, from a geometric point of view, a surface that passes the vertical line test. So if I poke a pen through this thing, I'm only going to poke it through in one place. Right? The function could be undefined somewhere, so there could be another place where it doesn't hit the paper at all. But I can't hit the paper twice if I point the pencil straight up or straight down. Of course, you can cook up a surface that doesn't pass the vertical line test, right? So now if I... here, I'm going to hit it twice, right? So it's a 3D vertical line test. That's the... this is not a function of two variables. This is. That's the geometric version. Now, of course, when you've been doing stuff since pre-calculus or high school, middle school, graphing y of f of x, you probably aren't generally given just random shape. You're given a formula. So, okay, yeah, we'll have formulas too. And it's just now we usually think of there being not just x as input, but now y is not the output, it's an input. And this is just somewhat arbitrary tradition, right? Yeah. We'll call the inputs x and y, the output z. They can be other letters. And sometimes we will use other letters, but this is just the most popular choice. F is the rule that tells us how to go from input to output. And sometimes notation is better when we have the letter for the output. Other times you really want a symbol for the rule. For better or for worse, these often get mixed up a lot. Now, we've seen some of this already. Remember the paraboloids. These are the examples you've seen so far in that section on quadratic surfaces. Other examples, what have we seen? Well, there were some cones, right? All of these are examples of surfaces that pass the vertical line test. These kinds of things, if you remember how they look, they're either a parabolic cylinder, and that's kind of the degenerate case. If you get the coefficients just right, you can make that happen, right? Or you could have... an elliptic paraboloid, right? I guess technically this is... I don't know if technically it's still a paraboloid or a parabolic cylinder. Yeah. Okay, this is an elliptic paraboloid. It can either be... like that, a hill, or you say downward opening, like a downward opening parabola, but 3D. Or it could be upward opening, like a bowl. And then there was the other one, it's a little trickier, at least for me to draw. The saddle point. Let's get into trouble with this one. Okay. Okay, this, yes.
not coming up very well. The computers are generally better at drawing these than people. There's some techniques in this section that cover some of the things you can do to try and draw these things. As the technical name for this is a hyperbolic paraboloid. My attempts are not doing justice today. Approach is going to be the way to go here. There's two approaches mentioned in the book for this. Vertical traces and level curves. If you combine both approaches and a little bit of judgment about what's supposed to be in front and what's supposed to be in the back, then you can kind of get it.
I think beats the computer's job. You can kind of see this with a piece of paper. Very crude idea of it.
The idea is that along one direction it's like an upward opening parabola. Along another direction, it's like a downward opening parabola. So, in opposite corners of the paper, you pull them down. Other opposite corners, you pull up. That's what I'm trying to indicate there.
And of course, it doesn't have creases. It's nice and smooth and curved.
Now, talk a little bit about those two techniques. Level curves and vertical curves for drawing these things. Who understood the cone? At least this cone was pretty easy, right? It's nice. There are slight variations on that. So these are examples.
Very important example.
Planes that are not vertical. Okay. About these. So these can always be written in the form z equals ax plus by plus c.
So these are the planes that pass the vertical line test.
We know kind of what they look like. And slanted things.
That's a piece of the plane. Of course, it goes on forever.
I could do a little bit more with this quadric surface stuff, too.
So I can't quite have a sphere, say. But I could have a hemisphere.
So, for example, this is the sphere of radius 5 centered about the origin, but I solved for z and threw out the negative solutions. So I just get the top half of the sphere. And you could do lots of variations on this, right? You could change where the center of the sphere is. You could decide to do the bottom half of the sphere, right? You could have had the negative sign in front of the square root to get the bottom half. Now, as you can see, it's going to be kind of rough to actually sketch these things on the board. One way you can get a handle on these things without having to be a great 3D sketcher is to look at a bunch of slices and label the slices. Okay, so maybe I'm just hopelessly bad at drawing saddles. Okay, how could I draw some strictly 2D, no 3D perspective pictures to try and get an understanding of what a saddle is like? Well, I need an actual formula for the saddle to do this. Okay. Okay, so... So I'll show you how I could do some level curves and vertical traces. Understand, say, a saddle better. Basically, we're going to slice the thing up in three different ways. Okay, so here's an example. Simplest example, z equals x times y. So if you like, you can think of this as us graphing the multiplication function. This is a saddle. If you remember back in chapter 2, there was this criterion I told you, b squared minus 4ac. The b squared minus 4ac is positive in this case, because b is 1 and a and c are 0. But don't worry about that. The point is, this is a saddle. And first, let's look at the level curves. Now, you can have a computer help you with this, too. That's not a problem. And in fact, sometimes when you ask a computer to do the 3D plot and then ask it to do the level curve plot, or sometimes it's also called an implicit plot, it'll actually be easier to understand the computer output. It'll be clearer and less ambiguous what's going on when you see the computer's level curve sketch than when you see the 3D sketch. Sometimes with the 3D sketches, you really have to be able to rotate it a lot to really understand the shape of the surface. This is pretty ambiguous. Okay, so what we do is we solve for different z values, okay? So we set z equal to a constant. And we just look at what solution we get. And now it's two-dimensional. So there's no need for worrying about did we get the 3D perspective right. Okay? So I know some of these. Right, I've graphed a few hyperbolas in my day. I know roughly what they look like. 1 equals x times y. That would mean y equals 1 over x, right? And I guess we might as well just write the general result. Y, we can solve this for y, so we can graph it. We don't need to do a fancy implicit graph. We could just do regular y equals f of x graphs in this case. That doesn't always work out, but
So I know the 1 over x curve. It's like this. So I should label that. I'm going to label this as z equals 1, right? Because if 1 is x times y, then z is 1. And it can help to do colors with these to distinguish the curves, but you still want to label them. What about negative 1? Okay. Y equals negative 1 over x. This. Something like this. So this is where the thing is negative 1 high. It's going to be like a topographical map. The curves, you can think of them as lines of constant elevation. You're at height negative 1 here. And then if you go up, you can be at height 1 here. Well, that's interesting. What about... what about the intermediate height of 0? So I've got z equals negative 1. Then I've got z equals 1 in the colors blue and black. Maybe I want to graph in the color green z equals 0. What would be the shape of that level curve? What would that look like? If 0 equals x times y, what's the solution set look like? Is it a line? Is it a curve? Is it a point? Is it empty? It's actually... it's that and more. Can anybody tell me what the other part of it is? There's two parts to it. If 0 is x times y, then that means, well, if y is 0, then x can be anything. That's a solution. Or x could be 0, right? If z is 0, then you can make either of these 0 and get a solution. Make one of these 0 and make the other number whatever, and that's a solution. 0 times anything is 0, anything times 0 is 0. So all along here, where y is equal to 0, and x is equal to whatever, that's part of the level curve z equals 0. And all along here, where x is equal to 0 and y is equal to whatever, those also are solutions to z equals 0. Okay, so there's actually two pieces to it. That's technically a degenerate hyperbola, an x or a cross. And if we wanted to do a little bit more, we could maybe, what would z equals 2 look like? So y would be 2 over x, so that would just shift the black curve twice as far away from the x-axis, a vertical scale doubling, right? So it would look something like this. I'm starting to run out of colors, but you could do a dotted line or something if you need more, right? Or I guess I should have bought more colors. And you know, that's just going to crowd things. Forget it. We'll stop with 4 curves. So you can get an idea of what this function looks like without having done any 3D sketching here. See, down here in this quadrant, you're at, think of it as low elevation. Right? Did I say that wrong? No, I said it wrong. Sorry. Down here, you're in low elevation. And if you go this way, you're going to pretty steeply increase to higher elevation. And And then if you come, but maybe then you go along here at constant elevation, then there's a steep drop as you go down to here. Then maybe you go towards the center. You can see that towards the center, changes in elevation are not so steep. It's more level here. Not perfectly level, of course, but not so steep. And it seems like if we go along this way, this is the least steep way to go, in some sense. No, it's not the least steep way to go. The least steep way to go is always to go level. Stay on a level curve. So you can always go along a level curve. And it's steep going up this way, but over here it's much steeper. So we can kind of get a picture. Here it's high in quadrants 1 and 3 and low in quadrants 2 and 4. And it gets higher and higher as we go either along this diagonal or along that diagonal, lower and lower along that diagonal and that diagonal. So we get this idea of what it looks like. And you can imagine doing more and more of these. Let's see here. You have a computer do this stuff too, as I indicated. Let's see here. So, I think, what's another name for these things? Contour plots. I should add that. So many names for these things. Okay. There it is. Let's turn this on. The way it does it is it color codes it. I'll show you. I just use, say, Wolfram Alpha to get something quick and dirty. And it's coming up now. I type something like contour plot z equals x times y, and it's probably getting washed out by all the light. Okay, so the interpretation here is clearly there are level curves, but there's also shading. So what's going on here? The lighter colors represent higher z values, and then the darker colors represent lower z values. Now, it's chosen, if you look at the scale here, this is all from negative 1 to 1. So, for example, let's see. And I think it's trying to get the curves roughly evenly spaced. But you can see the cross right there at z equals 0. And could do a little bit of reverse engineering. Well, if I want to know the level of, say, this one, this level, let's see, this is at, if x is 1 and y is negative 0.2, well then 1 times negative 0.2 is negative 0.2. So this is level negative 0.2. This is level negative 0.4, level negative 0.6, level negative 0.8. Over here is level positive 0.2, positive 0.4, positive 0.6, positive 0.8. So, computer can do this too, and much faster than I can. Of course, we can also just say, let's just do a 3D plot, and it looks like that which you'd have to pay money with Wolfram Alpha if you want to get all their interactive features, like to say rotate this. Yeah. Oh yeah, GoPro. Anyways, I suppose you could do that. There's free software out there that can do that stuff. Anyways, the contour plot I think is less ambiguous than the 3D plot. It's also easier for me to figure out exact values. So these are level curves. Questions? Okay, I'll turn the lights back on. Vertical traces, basically the same thing, except instead of holding z constant, hold one of the inputs constant. Okay. So, for example, we could have y and z, okay, and then we look at different x values. Right? So if x is so we're going to solve z equals x times y for but we're going to put replace x with some number a, right? Just like here, we replaced z with a constant c and solved for various c's. All right, so, I can use a c here if I want. Same letter. Right? Point is, plug in a constant for x and see what we get. And pick some axes. All right, so this is easier. The solutions are linear, not hyperbolas. Right? So... if x is 1, we get this. If x is negative 1, we get this, right? Because you'd have z equal to negative 1 times y. These are just lines through the origin of different slopes. If we had x equals 0, get this, right? We had x equals 2, you'd have z equals 2y. So this is a relatively simple, probably the simplest in many ways, hyperbolic parabola, right? From understanding the slices are about as simple as you could hope for. Okay, slice with one variable, you get hyperbolas, but you slice with this variable, you just get lines. And it would look the same if we slice with respect to the other variable, right? Function of two variables, that means you have a relationship between two inputs and one output. So you have a relationship between three things. And so those are always harder to understand than relationships between two things. But we can break it down and try to understand it by looking at pieces. We look at a slice like this, and within that slice, now we're just focusing on the relationship between two things. Now, if you're very ambitious, you can try to take all these slices and imagine trying to sketch them in 3D and somehow assemble them all together, right? Not easy to do, but you can try, right? So, for example, if I wanted to take those slices at different x's, right? I guess I would start in the back with this one at x equals negative 1. It's doing something like that. And then this was the one at x equals 0. And then there's the one at x equals 1. Something like that. So it gets to be a mess when you try and do it in 3D. And then you imagine that this one at x equals 2.
Yeah.
And then you could try and do the same thing for the y's. Again, it's hard, put that way. What is happening? Let me just indicate something slightly less ordinary. We imagine looking at some of these slices. There's kind of a picture that you can emerge here. As x decreases, these lines here, these slices we get, the vertical traces kind of turn up. So we could try and sketch that. This only has 4 of them. But let's imagine we had a bunch more. Right? Something like that. My lines are starting to curve. And then you could imagine trying to throw on some y traces. So those, be like that, and now how do these things work? Okay, so again. Now, the negative y direction I'm having to be kind of that way, so it would kind of turn like that, an increase in y. So it would... So I'd imagine things like this. Kind of turning like that. And in principle, I should be able to put all of this together into one picture. And if you do that, you kind of get... kind of get a sketch of this. Computers do it better, I think, is the bottom line. But roughly speaking, this is how the computer does it. It makes these things, and the hard part is how do you know what's in front and what's in back and what you should have hidden by stuff in front. For that, it probably uses some kind of ray tracing program, but very tedious to do by hand. But let me just bring the screen back a moment.
So you see all these lines and those slices. As I said, the computer does it better than I. Look here. You know, I had these kind of lines coming together. Now look at how the computer does it. See? You can see there are the straight lines. But you can see the vertical traces on here. There's this little gray or black lines here. Right? The slices really are like that. And I'm not competent always to draw this stuff, but it really is there. Okay.
Okay. Now, one other thing to mention about this stuff is domain and range. Okay? This is just the inputs that make sense. Okay? So of this function right here, it's easy. Anything works, okay? That's our fancy word for anything, right? You can plug in any x and y you want, and multiplication makes sense. Right? So the domain is what if we get fancy, R squared, or the whole plane, okay? And the range is, well, you can get anything, right? If you want to get output 5, well, 1 times 5 will do it. If you want to get negative 7, 1 times negative 7 will do it. So the output is all possible z's, right? You can get any z you want. Right? So the whole real line. I guess the one distinction I'm trying to make here is, you know, here the domain is two-dimensional. These are the inputs that make sense, and these are the outputs that you can get. All the inputs you can have, and the range is all the outputs you could have. You can cook up other curves where not all inputs are possible and not all outputs are possible, like the hemisphere example. In the hemisphere example, you can't have any x, y, and z that you want, right? Even if you're just looking at x and y, they're all going to be inside a disk. And you can't have any z you want because the hemisphere only gets so high and only gets so low. Alright. Okay. I don't really get into the domain and range stuff too much, so I'm not going to have you do some homework problem on it or something like that. Usually it only really comes up as some intermediate step in solving some other more interesting problem. So I'm not worried too much about that. Just the idea that sometimes you have to worry about, okay, do these inputs make sense? Or is that output even possible? Okay, so This is a cubic polynomial function. And you probably don't know what it looks like in advance. It's not going to be one of those quadratic surfaces. It's a cubic surface. Okay? So either do it by hand or give me some computer printouts, but I want labels. Okay? So if you're giving me this stuff, I want the labels of which X's or Y's or Z's you... So if you do make me a computer printout, label it.